have miscellaneous dinim, nothing to do with shchita. The main, the bulk of the theme of the Masechta is all about shchita. And here it's a collection of miscellaneous halachas, old traditions of the Torah Shebal Peh and the Bekoris and the Psukim. We left off in the middle of the Mishnah on Chofei Medeis. And then it started again because the Gemara is going to pick up on the theme. When you squeeze out grapes and you make grape juice and you make wine, so that's Bar Pri Hagafen. We mentioned that our grape juice is questionable. Our grape juice is treated chemically in such a way that it can never ferment. So that's a big machlekes, whether that's Bar Pri Hagafen or a Chahakal. Years ago, Rav Henkin was the big Pesach in New York before Moshe Feinstein came on the scene. And he quoted from the Knesset HaGdolah that if you treat the grape juice in such a way that it's never going to ferment, it's Shahakal. It's not Bar Pi Hagafen. And Rav Moshe was the first one who paskin here in America that that is Bar Pi Hagafen, but it's still a debate. Still a machlekes. So here, Temet is, after you squeeze out the grapes and you make grape juice or wine, then you have the leftover
shells.
Yeah, you have the leftover shells. And the pulp. So if you put a lot of water into that, into the psolus that's left over, and you let it soak for long enough, that's called temid. So that's gonna, it's gonna taste like Kool-Aid. Okay, it'll taste. So if you let it sit long enough, then it's gonna become very spunky. It'll become mamish like wine. So that's temid. Hachala hechmetz and misha hechmetz. After it already has a strong flavor, that's called misha hechmetz. So the temed, if you put water with the pulp of the grapes and just let it sit for a day or two, so it's still water. It's water with a little flavoring. And water, if you carry, there's a din that maim shuvim, a mikveh has to have 40 saw of megishamim, of rainwater. The two kinds, the chumash, there's a mikveh and there's a mayon. A mayon is where the source of the water is from under the ground. The Tanaim knew that there's a water cycle. All the water comes from the sky. All the water comes from the rain, then it goes back up. It evaporates and comes back down. They all knew that. But if the water comes from the rain or the melted snow, so then it has to be a mikveh. The word mikveh is miloshen kova v'kaimi, stagnant. It has to be an eshever, eshborin. Eshever means a crack in the ground. The water has to be stagnant. And if it's made mayonis, if the water came from the rain and then it went under the ground for a couple of miles and then it shoots up, it gushes up like a fountain, so that's called the mayon. The source, ultimately the source of all the water is megishamim. But if it goes under, that's the question, how many miles does it have to travel under the ground and not shoot up, then it should have the status of a mayon. So the din is that a mikveh has to have 40 saw. The reason why the chachamim established that din, some rishonim say it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that's amo alama brum gimel amas, 3 cubic amas. The reason why is because the average person needs 40 saw to be able to have his whole body submerged by basachas. When a person, his tummy goes to the mikveh, he can't put in one arm and the other arm, one leg and the other leg, then put his head in. You have to have the whole body submerged under the water. Basachas. If a person is oig malach haboshin, he's gigantic and he's very fat, he's not going to fit into a mikveh of aboyim saw. And if you need a bigger mikveh, and if you have a little tiny baby, the baby can fit into a much smaller mikveh. But this is the average size. So kach nemar halacha, the din is that you need 40 saw. If the fellow's stuck a gigantic fat and he doesn't fit in, you got to need more than 40 saw. That's a double pusher like that. The Or HaShulchan writes like that. If someone is very tall and very fat, 40 saw is not going to be enough. He's going to need more. So the Darkei Tshiva, the Minkacher writes, Apikeres. The Chazal said 40 saw is 40 saw. What do you mean Apikeres? What is that? I can't fit into the mikveh. I don't know what the taina is. If he's gigantic, he's not going to fit into the mikveh. What kind of a taina does he have?
Our mikveh
was
really more than 40 saw, generally?
Yeah, it's way more than 40 saw, sure. So the din is that the water in the mikveh cannot be maim shuvim. If you carry the water in a bucket and you pour it directly into the mikveh, that's no good, that's maim shuvim. So that din, the maim shuvim, so Tosis points out here, Rashi and Tosis both point out, if you already have a mikveh that has 40 saw, then you can add on all the maim shuvim that you want. Even if you're going to add on 50 saw maim shuvim. There's a Tosis in the end of Maseches Nida. One Tosis has one opinion that if you have a roiv of maim shuvim and a miyot of megishamim, then it would passel. But we don't passel like that. Once you have a boim saw, you can add on all the maim shuvim you want, and it accomplishes a hashoke. When you have the maim shuvim in the mikveh that's kosher, so the maim shuvim become kosher, everything is fine. So that halacha, that maim shuvim, So if you don't yet have 40 saw of water in the mikveh, and you poured in gimel lugim, three lugim of maim shuvim, three quarts of 3 gallons of maim shuvim, so even if you let it rain later on, and the rainwater fills it up, and you have more than 40 saw, the whole mikveh is no good. You have to empty out all the water in the mikveh till you no longer have gimel lugim, and then start all over again. So the Mishnah says that this psul, maim shuvim, pasels a mikveh, if it's a mikveh chasera, it doesn't yet have the 40 saw, that only applies if you have water that was carried in a bucket. What if you have milk? What if you have wine? What if you have orange juice? What if you have grapefruit juice or something else? That's not mayim. The din midirabonim, this is a din midirabonim. Gim alugim, maim shuvim, pasel a mikveh, if the mikveh is chaser, so that's only if it's mayim. So what's with this temed? I had the pulp left over from after squeezing out the grapes and making the grape juice, I have the pulp left over, and I put in wine. So it was just sitting there for a day or two, and nothing, it just has a little flavoring from the leftover grape juice and from the pulp. So that's still dina kemayim. That's still considered water. So if you carry that temet in a bucket, it'll be considered gimel lugim maim shuvim, it'll pass on the mikveh. And then Rashi points out the pshat in the Mishnah. The pasuk says in Chumash, whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael has a din of tevel, so you're not allowed to eat it until you mafresh trumas and maizes. This year is a shnas hashmita. So shnas hashmita, there's a mitzvah on the farmer to be mafker everything. So if you mafker everything, so there's no requirement at all to be mafresh trumas and maizes. But the other 6 years of the shmita cycle, the owner of the field is not mafker anything, so he's obligated to be mafresh trumas and maizes. So there's a cycle, a 7 year cycle. So the seventh year, everything is hefker, you mafker everything, so there's no chiyuv hafreshes, trumas, and maizes. The first 3 years, so the first year, first and the second year is mafresh trumas gedola, maizes rishon, maizes sheni. Then the third year, instead of mafresh maizes sheni, mafresh maizes oni, you give it to the oni. Then the fourth and the fifth and the sixth years is a repeat of the first and the second and the third years. What is supposed to do with the maizes sheni from the first year and the second year, and the fourth year and the fifth? What do you do with maizes sheni? Supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it b'kedusha v'tahara. What if it's kirichak mimcha amakam? What if you live far away from Yerushalayim? Kilo suchol seisoi. It's too difficult to bring kivarechach Hashem alakech. You had such a bountiful year. It'll be so expensive. It'll be prohibitive to transport it to Yerushalayim and eat it. Well, let's say he has tons and tons of grapefruits, tons and tons of oranges. He's going to get sick if he eats all these oranges. He can't eat some of the oranges. He's going to invite all of his friends in Yerushalayim to eat. Vifel as Ashir. You can't eat some of the oranges. You're going to get sick. So the Torah says, let him be paid on the cash. The halacha says that shove kesef is not dinah kekesef. For the purpose of pidyon maaseh sheni, you have to be paid on the cash. So it says, v'tzarta kesef biyadecha, you should be paid on the money. Bring the money to Yerushalayim. And then when you're in Yerushalayim, v'nasata kesef ba'boker, ba'tzon, ba'yayin, ba'shecha, you can buy food over there, and the kedusha from the maaseh sheni will go over onto the food, and then you'll eat the food, b'kedusha v'tahara. If you come to Yerushalayim and you go to the store and you take my Sheni money and you buy a suit, so the suit will not be nitfas v'kedusha. You buy furniture, you buy newspaper, you buy svarim, so the svarim, anything other than food, will not be nitfas v'kedusha's my Sheni. And the merchant who sold me the furniture or the clothing or the svarim won't be allowed to use the money for his own purposes. The money will still retain the kedusha's my Sheni. If I give the money to a restaurant and I buy, you have to have a restaurant where they sell food that's tahar, because if the maaser sheni is tummy, you're not allowed to eat it. You can't eat maaser sheni. It says when you say vidui maaser, vidui maaser, you recite Erev Pesach of the fourth year and Erev Pesach of the seventh year. When the 3 year cycle is up, there's the first 3 years is one cycle, next 3 years is another cycle. So after the first 3 years are up, Torah gives you 6 months to give away all the Truma Gedolah, the maaser rishon, and eat up and get rid of all the maaser sheni. And then you recite Vidui Maisa on Erev Pesach of the fourth year and Erev Pesach of the seventh year. So they say, Biarti HaKodesh Ben Abayis, I gave away all the Truma Gedolah, all the Maisa Rishon, and all the Maisa Sheni, everything. Lo Echalti, Lo Biarti Mimena B'Tomei. I didn't consume the Maisa Sheni in a state of Tuma. So when you come to Yerushalayim, you have the money with which you were paid the Maisa Sheni, so the money has Kedushas Maisa Sheni on it. So you have to buy food. So if you buy food that's Tohar, then the Kedushas Maaseh Sheni goes off and the money onto the food, and you have to eat the food with Kedusha Vitar. If you're going to buy furniture or Svarim, the Kedusha will not go off from the money onto the Svarim or onto the clothing or onto the furniture. And the merchant who took the money, he has to be careful. That money has Kedushas Ma'aseh Sheni. That's what the Gemara is going to continue to talk about on the next day. So the Chumash... You cannot be poyter, right? Then opinion is only if you're chutz Yerushalayim. Ki yirchak mimcha mokam, v'richak mokam. If you're in Yerushalayim, you cannot be poyter. That is correct. But when you're... Unless the Ma'aseh Sheni is nitmo. Then the Gemara says, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk. If the Ma'aseh Sheni became tamei, then you could even be poyter in Yerushalayim. Atzar HaShov is, when the Ma'aseh Sheni... When you can fulfill the mitzvah of eating the Ma'aseh Sheni, it means that it is tohar, and it is in Yerushalayim, and you have an option of eating. I happen to be tamei, so I can't eat it. But the Ma'aseh Sheni bi'atzmuso lends itself to achila. If there would be a person this tohar, they would be able to eat it. So whenever the Ma'aseh Sheni lends itself to the mitzvah achila, it doesn't have pidyon. But when the Ma'aseh Sheni is berichok makam, it's chutz Yerushalayim, so you can't fulfill the mitzvah of eating. Or even if the Ma'aseh Sheni is in Yerushalayim, but it's tamei, so you can't eat it. So that's the halacha. Whenever the Ma'aseh Sheni is in a state that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of eating Ma'aseh Sheni b'kedusha v'tahara, either because it's tamei berichok makam, but then it lends itself to pidyon. And Yerushalayim can only be put in Ma'aseh Sheni if it's nitma. Right, that's the Gemara with the psukim like that.
Is there an issue if he doesn't buy it, if he buys a suit or something with it?
Is it an usher or just some time in a say? He's machshil the merchant. He's giving the merchant money that has kedushas ma'aseh sheni. So the merchant is not allowed to put it in the bank. He's not allowed to use it for any other purpose. He has to take that money and buy food with it. So he better tell the merchant. The one is selling him the suit. I have to tell him, I'm giving you ma'aseh sheni money, which you can only use for the purpose of buying food and eating the food b'kedusha v'tahara. Yeah.
Does the value of the money have to be the same as the value of, one-tenth of your produce?
You're not supposed to cheat by Sesheni. Bizman she beis hamikdash yekayem, and you were able to... Bizman hazeh, there's no beis hamikdash, so you can not allowed to eat by Sesheni. Even though you don't have to eat it in the beis hamikdash, you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim doesn't have the full status of Kedushas Yerushalayim unless you have a Beis HaMikdash standing. So, Bizmancha Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim, and people were able to eat the Ma'aseh Sheni Kemitzvasa B'Kedusha V'Tahara in Yerushalayim, then the Gemara says you're not allowed to cheat Ma'aseh Sheni by being paid less than its value. But Bizman Hazeh, we're all Tameh, and all the food is Tameh, the Ma'aseh Sheni is Tameh, there's no Beis HaMikdash. So we have three good reasons why we can't fulfill the mitzvah of eating Ma'aseh Sheni. What do you do with Ma'aseh Sheni money? You put it in Ma'aseh Sheni on Tekish. Then what do you do with it? So you throw it into the Yam HaMelech. We said last time, you put it into some acid, and then it's going to dissolve. It'll disappear. The coin will dissolve in the acid. So it's a bigger mitzvah to put $50,000 worth of coins in acid. So Bizman Hazeh, well, Ma'aseh Sheni is not going to lose anything. So then, most of the Rishonim hold, the Rambam quotes those who disagree, but the practice is, like the Rov of the Rishonim say, that you can be paid tons of Ma'aseh Sheni on a pruta. You're allowed to cheat the Ma'aseh Sheni l'chatchila b'zman hazeh. Because Ma'aseh Sheni is mama gavoya, so it has a din like Hegdish. And Hegdish, there's a din, ein oinoa l'hegdeshes. There's no din of oinoa. Oinoa means, I sell you a cup of coffee for $25. Coffee doesn't sell for $25. That's oinoa. Or fakirt. I fooled the person into selling me his house for $15. House is worth $15 million. I gave him only $15. So this is, I know whether the moicher cheated the lekech or the lekech cheated the moicher. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk in Bava Metzia that there's no I know by Hegdish. So no I know by Hegdish goes in both directions. If he gave too much money to be paid to Hegdish, he gave too little money, so b'riyevet, there's no dinah by Noah. You're not allowed to cheat Hegdish l'chatchila. But b'zman she'in beis hamikdash kam, let's say, at today the person donates his mansion, person has a mansion in the middle of Manhattan, he donates his mansion, hareza hegdish. What's hegdish going to do with the mansion in the middle of New York City today? So bizman she beis hamikdash hayikayim, they'll auction it off to the highest bidder, and they'll take the money, and they'll use it for clean up, paint up, fix up in the beis hamikdash. Bizman hazeh, what are you going to do with the money? But you have to be paid it, because for sure someone's going to be nana min hegdish. You can't leave hegdish around. It's going to be a michshel, it's going to be a takola. So you have to be paid of the hegdish. So the Gemara said, "Bizman hazeh, you don't have to give the $15 million that the mansion is worth. give $10 and then destroy the $10, because what are you going to do with the $10? Going to wait till they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash and give it to the Gizbar? You may not live so long till the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. So it'll just be a chashash takola. It'll be a michshol. So you have to be paid the Hegdish, and then you have to destroy the money. So bizman ein Beis HaMikdash kayam, we allow farmers to be paid in Maisa Sheni on a pruta. They don't have to give $100,000 to be paid $100,000 worth of Maisa Sheni. They just give a pruta.
So at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, just to follow up, so at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, let's say somebody makes $100,000, so they need to take $10,000, right? It's like about one-tenth? Take $10,000 and be owed it on to... right?
What do you mean? He earned $100,000.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants to give tzedakah. That's a recommendation to give Maisa Ksofim. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Maisa Sheni.
Maisa Sheni means if you have peiris that grew in Eretz Yisrael, fruits or vegetables or grains or something, food that grows in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to eat it in Sanisa Tevel. You have to first be mafresh 2% for the Kohen, that's Truma Gedoyla. Then after that you give 10% to the Levi. Then you have to take out 10% of what's left. It's going to be about 9%. 10% of what's left after taking out Maisa Rishon, that's Maisa Sheni. So that food, that Maisa Sheni, could be tons and tons of fruits and vegetables or whatever, that you're supposed to transport to Yerushalayim and eat it, B'kedusha B'tahar. And if it's Bizman HaZed, it's not Beis HaMikdash, or Yotame, it's too far away, then you can be paid it. So Bizman HaZed, where Maisa Sheni is not going to lose anything, if you're going to be paid on $100,000, Maisa Sheni institution is not going to gain anything by that. You're just going to destroy the money anyway. Mishum chashash takola. So that's why Bizman HaZeh, Rov HaRishonim, say Taisus and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, they all say you should be paid on a pruta and then destroy the pruta.
What do they do with Trumas and Maestros?
What about what?
What do they do with Trumas and Maestros?
Mikra din Truma, you can give a mashahu. Chitachas, you have a room so big, full to the ceiling with tvua. So the Gemara says, Mikra din, Truma has no shear. No shear lamata, you can give one kernel or grain for the whole room, or you can't give 100% truma. You have to leave something over. So you can give 99.99% as truma, and then figure out how you're going to give Maisa Rishon and Maisa Sheni after that. So you give Bizman HaZeh, that the Kohanim are all tummy, they can't eat the truma, so you mafrish truma mashu. Then you have to be mafrish Maisa Rishon, supposed to give it to the Levim. So the general practice is that people do not give it to the Levim. And they say, prove that you're a Levi. Who says that you're a Levi? Prove. Amoitza and Chavera, Oliver, prove that you're a Levi. What do you mean, prove that he's a Levi? He always gets Tali and Shul. He's a Levi. His father was a Levi. His grandfather was a Levi. So I remember that when Mendel Zaks retired from America and he moved to Eretz Yisrael, so the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael, I went with Abba Brunspiegel. So we both went to visit Reb Mendel Zaks, because we knew him from the yeshiva. So he told us that when he's Mafrish Maisa Rishon, he always makes sure he gives it to yeshiva guy who's a Levi. He said, that's not a valid excuse. He said, Amoitzi Machaber Lavar, I prove it that you're a Levi. He's Becheskas Levi. So you got to give him the Maisa Rishon. So you have to give 10%. You have to give away 10%. And then after taking out the 10%, then you have to be mafish 10% of what's left after that as Maisa Sheni. That'll be 9%. After he took out 10% for Maisa Rishon, they only have 90 units left. So you give 10% of that, there's 9% of the whole thing. Mafish is Maisa Sheni. So if it's the Levi has to give away Trumas Maisa. That you can't give Chitachas. That you have to. What they do in the wine factories and all the places, they set aside slightly more than 1%, and they say whatever is more than 1% to the left should be Truma Gedoyla. The 1% should be Maisa Mina Maisa, and the next 9% after that should be the Maisa Rishon. So the Maisa Mina Maisa, you have to give 10%. And that's all Tomei said, that you have to taka destroy that. You have to burn that. You're not allowed to eat that. The Maisa Mena Maisa has a din like Truma. And then the Maisa Sheni, Chitach is only on the Truma Gedolah. It doesn't go on Maisa Mena. The Chitach has to be destroyed. Yeah. Then the Maisa Sheni, they have to be mafish Maisa Sheni, the full amount. And then they're paid to that on a nickel. They're paid to that on a small amount of money. And if it's the third year or the sixth year, you mafish Maisa Rani. So who do you give it to? So the last 10 years, I think, they instituted that a representative from Yad Eliezer comes to the farms. Yad Eliezer is a big tzedakah organization in Eretz Yisrael. They come to the farms, and the farmers give them the maisa oni, and then they sell it back to the farmer for the going rate, however much it's really worth. So the farmers are giving that amount. I think they said Rabbi Yashim, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, many Talmid HaChacham, many Gedolim recommended this system. They said it's a good idea. So the farmers buy back the maisa oni after giving it to a gizba representing all the Aniyim in Eretz Yisrael. So the gizba sells it back to the farmer, because the gizba is not going to go distribute it to the Aniyim. It'll be a pain in the neck. It'll be a nuisance. So he sells it back to the farmer, and then they have the kish, and then they distribute the kish to the Aniyim. That's how they climb the din. So Nachamal, so here the Chumash says, when you pay the maisa sheni, you take the money to Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to use that money to buy clothing or to buy furniture or to buy swam. You have to buy food that should be tohar, that should be eaten mikdusha v'tahara in Yerushalayim. So what kind of food can you buy? So the pasuk says, when asata kesa ba'boker ba'tzon u'ba'yayin v'shecher. Yayin means grape juice and shecher means wine. Strong, it doesn't mean beer. It means strong wine that has alcoholic content in it. So the pasuk gives as an example, you can buy wine. And the Gemara says in Erevin, Rashi quotes, and the Gemara says in Erevin, you have to buy pre-mipri, bigidula kake. You can't buy fish. You can buy flesh because the animals live on the dry land and they graze. That's called gidula karka. It's not gidula karka that it grows from the ground, it lives on the ground. You can't buy water, and you can't buy fish, and you can't buy salt. These three are not called gidula karka. One of the examples that the Chumash gives, what do you use the money for? You buy yayin. So the Mishnah gives the din over here. The temed, if you have the water sitting a day or two with the pulp of the grapes that's left over, it's going to taste a little bit like Kool-Aid. Not going to have a real flavor of wine in it. So that's dino kimayim. And you can't buy mayim with the maaseh sheni money. But the temed misha echpitz, if it's sitting long enough and it absorbed the flavor of the pulp of the grapes, and it has an oomph to it, it has alcoholic content to it, it came out like wine, then it has the din like wine, so then it's nikach b'kesef maisa. Then you're allowed to buy it with maisa sheni money, and then if the hechmetz, if you'll carry it in a bucket, it won't have the din of gimalugim maim shuvim, because it's wine, it's din of kiyayin, and wine, there's no din of maim shuvim. The din of maim shuvim doesn't apply to milk or to grape juice or to orange juice, only applies to maim. So the Mishnah singles out these two dinim. To pasal a mikvah begim alugim has to be maim. To be able to buy it with mois maaseh sheni has to be din of kiyayin. So when koidim shehechmetz, so the tamin is din of kiyayin. Lacha shehechmetz, then the tamin is din of kiyayin. That's the first half of the Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to discuss that much more. And the next Amud. Second half of the Mishnah is a bit complicated. Before you even begin, the two Girsots. We have the Girsa Ho'achim Hashutfim, and other Rishonim have the Girsa Ho'achim V'Hashutfim, with Avov or without Avov. So, the difference is the following. The Mishnah says that sometimes Shutfim are not chayiv and maisa behema. What is maisa behema? Let's say I have a farm where I grow animals. I have female animals and they become pregnant and they give birth to vlodas and then I sell the vlodas. I have a lot of vlodas. So if you had 10 sheep were born in your flock in the course of a year is, you have to know when is Rosh Hashanah la maisa behema. So that's a machlokes hatanaim in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So let's say echad b'tishrei or echad be'elul, machlokes hatanaim. So if you had 10 sheep or 10 goats were born in your flock within the same year, then the mitzvah from Yachad. So there's a mitzvah to be mafrish ma'aseh behem. If you want to, you can shecht right now. Let's say I have exactly 10 and I shecht one of them now and I eat it. So I have no mitzvah ma'aseh behem. So when do you have the mitzvah ma'aseh behem? I mean, if I have 20, then I'm going to eat a couple of them, so I'll still be left with 15. So then there's a mitzvah, it's a strange mitzvah. If you have the right to shecht one, you have a right to shecht the next one, you can shecht all 20, then you'll be left with nothing. Then you won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah ma'aseh behem. There's some achrayim right, it's a mitzvah sorshus. It's a mitzvah, but it's not absolutely required of you. If you want to, you can shecht each one and be left with nothing. But more correct is you shouldn't shecht them. You should have them all gathered together in one area within a corral and have the opening narrow enough so only one animal can go through at a time. And then each tenth one, if you have 100 and you have 200, so each tenth one you put a mark on it, telling you, no, this is a carbon, this is my sebeim. Supposed to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and makriv it as a carbon. After the Churban Habayis, so you can't be makriv it anymore. So it doesn't, and we don't know when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. So the Tanaim recommended, use your brains, don't be mafrish maisa behema bizman hazeh. If you mafrish maisa behema, you'll be stuck. You can't be makriv it, you have to wait till it gets a mum. It can take forever to get a mum. And you're not allowed to make a mum on it. There's an iser not to be batal mum on a carbon. So that's what the institution of maisa behema is. So the Mishnah says that shutfim are sometimes not chayiv in the mitzvah maisa behema. Let's say if you have a farm which is owned by shutfis by a few people, a couple of brothers, a couple of businessmen joined together. So sometimes the shutfim are not chayiv. When are they not chayiv? So that's the major machlokes Rashi and the Rambam how to read the Mishnah. Rashi says that shutfim are never chayiv in maisa behema. Period. Each one put in $500,000 and they have together $5 million. They have 10 shutfim. Each one gave $500,000 and they bought a lot of behemoths and they're giving vladas and vladas and vladas. Shutfim are never chayiv. The mitzvah of maisa behema only applies if it's owned by one person. If it's owned by a group of people, nisht. So the Mishnah has an exception to the rule. If there was a man who died, a single man who died, and he owned 1,000 behemoths, and after he died, he has 5 sons. And the Yerusha is going to be divided among the 5. So before Chalukas HaYorshim, it's called Tfusas HaBayis. Some places the Mishnahis call it Tfisas HaBayis. Some of the Galatianic pronounce it Tfisas HaBayis. And the Lutvaks pronounce it Tfusas HaBayis, whatever. But you have in the Mishnahis, some places called Tfusas HaBayis, some calls Tfisas HaBayis. That's a special din only by Yorshim. When a man dies and he leaves the Yerusha, and the Yerusha wasn't divided up yet, that's called Tfusas HaBayis. If you have Shutfim, who are Shutfim, Nishtatfu Me'aleim, people joined together to make a Shutfus, that's not called Tfusas HaBayis. So what's unique about Tfusas HaBayis is, like you say in English, the estate. It's an estate that belongs to the whole group of people. They all own it together. It's not like Shutfim. Let's say you have 10 Shutfim, each one gave $500,000, and they own a farm together, so the whatever share I own doesn't belong to the others. Whatever share you own doesn't belong to the others. Each one owns a share. That's what the shutfus is. I own my share, you own your share. By Tfus HaBayis, by the Yerusha before Chalukah, we call it the estate. The estate belongs to all of the Yerushim together. So if a man dies and he left, let's say, 1,000 behemoths, and the children didn't make a Chalukah yet, and the behemoths gave birth to Vladis, and then it's already 20 years after the father died, and they still remain shutfim. So that's Rashi's girsa, ha'achim ha'shutfim. When the brothers are still shutfim, the father died, they never made a chalukah. So that's a special din tfus habayis. Then the din is the chayovim b'maisa behema. That's not called the shutfis. That's called as if it's owned by the estate, as if the father was still alive, and as if it's owned by one owner. But let's say you have 5 people, 10 people joined together to make a shutfus, or the father died, and he had this big farm, and then the children made a chalukah, and then chazru v'neshtatfu. After they made a chalukah, they said, why should we each one be in business alone? Let's pull all of our chachma together, we'll all be in shutfus together. So first chalku, and then chazru v'neshtatfu, then it's like a shutfus d'alma. So Rashi Shita is that shutfim are always pata from Isabayim. It's a mitzvah that only applies to an individual person. If it's on b'shutfus, it's not mitzvah at all. So Rashi reads it like this. Ha'achim ha'shutfim. Rashi doesn't have a vav. Ha'achim ve'ha'shutfim. Rashi learns, ha'achim ha'shutfim. Ha'pturim y'maisa behema. When are they pturim y'maisa behema? If they first made a chaluka, and then chasru v'nishtatfim. But k'shechayavim y'maisa behema, sometimes there will be chayv y'maisa behema. When is that? If the father died, they never made a chalukah, so it still belongs to the Tfus HaBayis. So then there's going to be a difference for the kalbon. What is the kalbon all about? The kalbon is a din. Kalbon is totally unrelated. Kalbon has nothing to do with Maisa Behem. Kalbon is a din in Machzis HaShekel. every year Bnei Yisrael have to give tamidim, have to bring tamidim and masafin. So why not get a representative of the Beis HaMikdash? They'll get one family to donate, a wealthy family to donate $1 million this year, hang up a sign of the Beis HaMikdash. All karbonos were taken care of by this and this family, by the Jesselson family. This year everything was taken care of by the Jesselson family. So the Mishnayos record that the Tzedukim used to do like that. There were years during the period of the Bais Sheni that the Tzedukim were running the show in the Beis HaMikdash, many years that they were running the show. And that's Shaloi Kedin. That's a din in Korban Yochid. A person can be Magdash a Korban Amanashi's Kappa Bochavera. Learned that from Tzedukim, that such an institution exists. But in a Korban Sibur, the only way that it can be labeled as a Korban Sibur is if the animals were purchased with the use of the Machzah Shekel money. Machzah Shekel din is that every Jewish man, the women are not Mukhayiv to give. If they want to volunteer, we'll accept it. If a guy wants to volunteer, we can't accept it. But if a woman wants to volunteer, the Mishnah says you do accept it. So all of each man is mukhayiv to give a minimum of a machzah shekel. Minimum. How much is a machzah shekel? Let's say pinyan haben is 5 shekels. So machzah shekel is 1/10 of pinyan haben. So how much is pinyan haben? So the classical pasuk say that pinyan haben is the value of 96 grams of pure silver. Let's say a baby is born, and then on the 31st day, a month after the baby is born, Yom Lamed Aleph, you have to call up the New York Times and ask them how much does silver sell for today. And you want to find out how much does 96 in, meaning is you give 100 grams. But Mikra Din, you only have to give 96 grams. So 96 grams of pure silver, and it's established on the Yom Lamed Aleph. Sometimes silver is very high, sometimes silver is very low. So if on the Gemara says in the first daf in Perek Hazov, once you establish how much the pinyan haben is, it stays like that. Let's say the person's parents never made a pinyan haben on him. The guy becomes a Baal Tshuva at the age of 80, and he finds out that he was a pchor to his mother, and they never made him a pinyan haben, and he wants to make a pinyan haben for himself. So you don't ask the New York Times, when he's 80 years old, how much does it cost for 96 grams of pure silver. Got to find out how much did 96 grams of pure silver sell for, depending where he lived. They lived in Paris, he lived in Yerushalayim, lived in New York. How much did it sell for when he was on the Yom Lamed Aleph in that given city? So once you establish how much money you have to give, it stays, that amount stays. It doesn't fluctuate. But it depends on each child. When the child was born, on the Yom Lamed Aleph of each baby, you have to establish how much is the pinyan haben. So pinyan haben is 5 shekels. That's 96 grams of pure silver. Machzah shekel is 1/10 of that. So 9.6 grams of pure silver is the value of machzah shekel. So everybody, every man, every Jewish man has to give the fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash begins with Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So the new karbonis starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan on have to be purchased with the new machzah shekel money. So that's why the Mishnah said Be'echad Be'odar, a month before you make the Bezin starts to make announcements that people have to shuckle zif, they have to give money, have to bring money to the Beis HaMikdash. Because starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we give everybody a month to give the money. Starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we have to buy the karbonis with the new machzah shekel money. So the din is, if that'll be enough. Fundraisers always know not everybody who pledges gives their money, and not everybody who pledges gives the money on time. Even if they do give it, they don't always give the money on time. And you have to estimate in advance, do you think this year is going to be a Shana Mu'ubaris or a Shana Pshut? You're going to have 12 months or 13 months. It's going to be 13 months, so you need more karbanis to meet him in Musafim. Another 30 days, another 29 days, another couple of Musafim for the Shabbosim, and so on. So you have to figure out how many months are there going to be in the coming year. You're going to have 12 months or 13 months. And how much are the behemoths going to cost? You have to ask an expert, how much are the behemoths going to cost? And how many people do you think, what's the world Jewish population? The Rambam says even the people who live in Chutz L'Arts also mechuyev to give machzah shekel. And you have to figure out how many people do you think are going to give the money on time? Do you think you're going to have enough money on Rosh Chodesh Nissan to buy the karbanis tzibur? So the Ravid writes like that. The Ravid says, Machzah Shekel, that's the minimum. You can't get away with giving less than 9.6 grams of pure silver. You have to give at least a Machzah Shekel. Usually they would determine that everybody should give much more than that. Everybody should give $35. If they're not going to have everybody give $35, you're not going to have enough money to buy the Machzor Shekel. If you have millions and millions of Jews who are giving the Machzor Shekel, you're going to have more money than you need. So then Halacha says you never give less than Machzor Shekel. So that Machzor Shekel money, Minatori, just give you Machzor Shekel, 9.6 grams of pure silver. With the Rabbanon, they introduced the din that in addition to the Machzor Shekel, you have to give a kalbon. What is a kalbon? A kalbon is, they used to have a parnasa, they used to have a shulchani, a money changer. So you would give him a $20 bill, and he's going to give you change. But he's going to charge you a fee for giving change. So kalbon is, if you give a shekel to the shulchani, and you ask him, give me a machzor shekel, I have to give a machzor shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, how much will he charge you to give you change of a shekel, to change it into machzor shekel with more change? So whoever that much is, a quarter, half a dollar, whatever he's going to charge. So that's the kalbon, and this was introduced midirabbanan, that the person who gives machzor shekel has to give a kalbon also. When exactly they have to give a kalbon? So it's a little unclear. So the Mishnais and Shkolim have a machlekes Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir lived after the Churban Abayis. He never saw a machzor shekel in his life. He never saw a machzor shekel. So all the Tanaim who discuss all the Beis HaMikdash and the Korbanos, they all lived, most of them, Ruba de Ruba, they all lived after the Churban Abayis. They never saw these things. And they had a whole machlekes, where is the Mizbeach located? Is it to the right? Is it to the left? Is it dead center? Is it over here? They never saw the Beis HaMikdash. So they were all arguing from based on traditions, based on what they heard, and how do you do the Zrikas HaKarbonis, how do you do the Hakrovas HaKarbonis. This was all after Lachar HaMaisa, after there was no longer a Beis HaMikdash. So this Machlekes Rav Meir, if they would have lived in Bezman HaBayis, they would have known what the practice was. They all lived after the Churban HaBayis. So Rav Meir claims that every person has to give a kalbon. Whenever you give Machzor Shekel, you always have to give a kalbon. And let's say we're in business together, we have a shutfus together, and we want to give a machzor shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. So why should I give a machzor shekel? You give machzor shekel, and I'm going to have to pay a fee to the shulchani to exchange a shekel to get a smaller people. Don't walk around with pennies in their pocket. You walk around with bigger coins, bigger denominations of coins. So people walk around with bigger shkolim. So I'm going to have to pay a shulchani to get a change. So we're in business together. Shine. So we're going to pay, we're going to go to the Beis and put in one shekel, half of the shekel for me, half of the shekel for you. So Rav Meir's opinion is, that's nice, you yotze the din deraisa, but when there are bonin, you have to add on a kalbon for me and a kalbon for you. If it costs 50 cents, is the fee of the shulchani to exchange a shekel to make it into smaller coins, so each person who gives machzor shekel has to give a kalbon. That's Rav Meir's shita. And we don't pass on like Rav Meir. We assume that the only time you have to give a kalbon, is if you only give one kalbon in such a case. You don't give two kalbonos. Or let's say a person gives a machzor shekel. He has coins. He gives a machzor shekel. So Rav Meir's opinion is, whoever gives machzor shekel always has to give a kalbon. And we don't pass like that. We pass in the only time you give a kalbon, you give one kalbon. If two people want to be yotze with one shekel, so we're saving the expense of exchanging the shekel to get chatzoy hashkolim, that would have cost us a kalbon. So the two of us together give one shekel, so there's a din midirabbon, and we have to add on a kalbon. The Pashtus says, the Menachas Chinuch writes like this, that the whole institution of giving kalbon is only midirabbonim. In HaTorah, there's no din of a kalbon. How does he prove that it's true? Because the Mishnais have, when are you not obligated to give a kalbon? So they were mekel in certain cases. You know, how could you be mekel if it's a real din deraisa, you have to give a kalbon? So the Menachas Chinuch is machriach, that's what it's assumed, that the whole institution of kalbon is only midirabbonim. Poses a big problem, because if a nochri wants to volunteer machzor shekel, it says we don't accept it. A nochri cannot volunteer to give a chatas and an osham. A nochri can volunteer to give a shlomim, to give an oila, whatever is bo ben edim and adova. Whatever is not bo ben edim and adova, so a nochri cannot volunteer. So a nochri wants to volunteer machzor shekel, we don't accept it. Was it schlecht? So you'll have some extra money in the pushke. What's up there? The answer is no. You're purchasing korbanos tzibur with this money. Kabbana Tziba have to be purchased. It's only Oyla for the Tziba. The Tziba is only Yotze, the Mitzvah of Tmeinim and Musafim, if the Karbonas are purchased with Machzor Shekel money. If you're going to have if Jesselson is going to donate $1 million to cover all the Karbonas, you won't be Yotze. So if the Nochri donates, or if someone puts in some extra money, the Pasuk says, Ha'osha lo yarbe. Ha'osha lo yarbe. What do you mean, Ha'osha lo yarbe? But the Ravid writes, in a normal year, they probably had to give $35 each. It wasn't enough just to give a machzor shekel. So the din ha'osha lo yarbe means the wealthy man is not allowed to give more than the poor man. Everybody gives the same amount. But you can't say there's an issur, you're not allowed to give more than machzor shekel. Under normal circumstances, everybody had to give more than machzor shekel. They had to figure out how many people are going to give. A lot of people are not going to give the machzor shekel. They'll give a teretz, they'll forget, whatever. And a lot of people won't give it on time. They'll wait till next year. In the Beis HaMikdash, they had different pushkas. They had Taklan Charetin for Shkolim Chadoshim for this year, and had a big pushka, Taklan Atikin, for whoever didn't give Machzor Shekel. A guy becomes a Baal Tshuva at the age of 80, so he has to give Machzor Shekel all the way back, from when he was 79, when he was 78, when he was 77. He has to give Machzor Shekel all the years, all the way back, either to Bar Mitzvah or to 20. That's a question. How old do you have to be that you mechuyev Machzor Shekel? The many say, once you're bar mitzvah, you will have to give machzor shekel. And others say, no. The pasuk says in Chumash, "Mibein esam shana mamala kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael." They have to give machzor shekel. The others say, no. That's if you're taking a census of the Jewish population in order to know for security purposes how many soldiers are going to have in the army. So younger than 20, you don't draft them in the army. Mibein esam shana mamala kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael. But here, for the purpose of machzor shekel, has nothing to do with who's drafted in the army. You don't have to be over 20. I'm not talking about the army over here. So that's two girsas in the Yerushalmi. The Rishonim have two girsas in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi say, from Bar Mitzvah, Ani Muchiyev to give Machzor Shekel, or from the age of 20. But if the guy becomes a Baal Tshuva at the age of 80, then he has to give back all the old Machzor Shekel that he never gave before. So usually the Bezin would establish everybody has to give $35, way more than Machzor Shekel. What happened to the Din Hoshel Yarbe? So the Mefarshim say, Hoshel Yarbe does mean you're not allowed to give more than Machzor Shekel. You're not allowed to give more than someone else. Everybody gives the same amount. If you're going to give extra, that's a donation. Machzor Shekel can't accept any donations. Because then it comes out that you're purchasing the Karbonas Tzibur based on a donation. The Karbonas Tzibur the Tzibur is only Yotze, the mitzvah of Karbonas Tzibur, if they purchase the Karbonas with the Machzor Shekel money. So that's the problem over here. The Kalbon was an invention mid the Rabbanan. And then the money is thrown in into the regular pushke, into the regular taklan charetin, the shkolim chadoshim pushke. They are gigantic shofars. They call the gigantic pushkas, they call the shofars in the Beis HaMikdash, where they put all this money. So how can you mix in kalbonis if the kalbon is only an invention with the rabbanon? I don't know. Stamen the Menchas Chinuch probably talks about it. Someone should talk about it. I don't know. That's a pillar. But the pashtus, we assume the whole institution of kalbon is only mid the rabbanon, and we assume not like Rabbi Meir. Meir says, whenever anybody gives machzor shekel, he's chayv to give a kalbon. So if two people give a shekel together, they have to give shnei kalbonos. And we assume not so. And if a person gives his own machzor shekel, he also has to give a kalbon. Everybody always has to give machzor shekel plus a kalbon. Unless, let's say, I'm doing a favor for someone else, the Mishnah has. My next door neighbor is a poor man, so I want to be shokel shikloi shel chaveroi. So that you're allowed to do. I can donate money, I can give a machzor shekel, and then they'll send a letter to the next door neighbor, Levi Yodua, that the machzor shekel was donated on your behalf, and you don't have to give your own. Just like by karbonis, let's say someone is mechuyev a karbon and he can't afford it. So the Gemara says there is an institution, a mafrish al menashe iskapa b'chaver. I can be mafrish a karbon, and someone else should be the baal karbon. By karbonis tzibur, it doesn't work. You can't have one family pay for all the karbanas tzibur, and then the tzibur will be yotze. But for the private person being mechuyev to give machzor shekel, that he can do. Someone else can donate for his next door neighbor, for an ani, machzor shekel on his behalf. So the Mishnah says, if I'm doing a favor on behalf of someone else, then I'm not mechuyev to give the kalbon. So that's what the Menchas Chinuch says. If the kalbon would really, really, really be a din deraisa, so how do you exempt this? It's a guy doing a favor. If it's a real din deraisa, he says, no, the whole thing is an invention mid the rabbanon.
What's the purpose of the kalbon in this case? I mean, the Beis HaMikdash can make firm transaction clause when they buy the rabbanon.
It's the money from Machzah Shekel is for the purpose of purchasing the Karbanos Seba. Every year they always had leftover money. They had to have leftover money. So the Mishnah discusses what they do with all the leftover money. There were different kinds of leftover money. The Mishnah says, Begimel Prokam Hashana, Tormim Mishalishka. 2 weeks before Pesach is Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So they took out three gigantic sacks of money, and then there's money left behind in the Pushkin. And then they put a leather cover on top of whatever money was left behind. And then 2 weeks before Shavuos, it's only 7 weeks later, so they didn't spend so much money. 2 weeks before Shavuos, they went in, they took again three big sacks of money, and then they put another leather cover. And then the money that was put in after, from 2 weeks before Shavuos till 2 weeks before Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah time, that was a longer stretch. Between Pesach and Shavuos is only 7 weeks. Between Shavuos and Sukkot is over 5 months. No? 4.5 months, something like that. So there'll be more money left over. Between Pesach and Shavuos, there'll be more money left over in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnais have, what do you do with the leftover money when they took out the three sacks of money? What do you do with the leftover money there in the bottom? Then they had the three sacks. They didn't spend all the money on it. So what do you do with the leftover money in the sacks? Then it comes the end of the year. What do you do with all that leftover money? So the Mishnah has different klalim. They used to pay Rabbanim who taught the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash how to be Makar Karbanis. Then they used to pay Mechanchim in Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, in the end of Ksubas, the Gemara says, this is Hekdishtika money. How are you allowed to pay Malamdim in Yerushalayim? So the Gemara gives a whole discussion. How are they allowed to use the money for secular purposes? Officially, Kaisam is Bech, I don't think so. Kaisam is Bech, that's Moisa Kotchikotchim. Moisa Kotchikotchim. Yeah, this also Kotchikotchim. The Machzah Shekel money, some of it theoretically should go to Kaisam is Bech. That's a klal. Let's say a person is Mechuyev to bring a Korban Chatos. Or let's say he said, Hare Eli Oila, Mechuyev to bring a Korban Oila, he accepted. Upon him, so then he sets aside $1,000. Goes to Yerushalayim, he buys a behemoth for $900. So he has left over $100. So that's Moisa Kotchi Kotchim, money left over. And it started off as Kotchi Kotchim. So the Gemara learns that from the Mishnah says, Zu Medrish Dorish Yehoyada HaKoyin. Yehoyada HaKoyin was a figure from the Bais Rishon period. He's in Sefer Melachim. Yehoyada HaKoyin was in the period of Bais Rishon. So the Mishnah quotes a drasha that he said, a drasha from the Bais Rishon period, that Moisa Kotchi Kotchim Karev Oila. Any money Karev Oilas Nidvas Tzibur. Any Kotchim Kotchim Dika money that's left over, so he's supposed to use it for the purpose of buying Oilas Nidvas Tzibur. So Machzah Shekel money is all Kotchi Kotchim. It goes all Karbonis HaTzibur. Machzah Shekel money goes to buy Karbonis Tzibur. All Karbonis HaTzibur are Kotchi Kotchim. Even on Shavuos there's a Karbon Shlomim, Zirche Shalmei Tzibur. Shalmei Tzibur are Kotchi Kotchim. Shalmei Yochid are Kotchim Kalim. Yishalmi Tzibur and Shavuos, the Kibsi Atzeres, is Kotchi Kotchim. So that's the Mishnayas out like that. That the Machzah Shekel money always has a din of Me'ila. Kotchim Kalim, there's no din Me'ila, only Kotchi Kotchim. So all the Machzah Shekel money always went for Kotchi Kotchim. So strictly speaking, the leftover money from Machzah Shekel ought to go for Kaitzah Mizbeach, for the Oilas Nidvas Tzibur. And the Mishnah says that they siphoned off a lot of money for other purposes. The Gemara says, how can you do that? But it's Hegdish. How can you pay the Malamdim? How can you pay those who teach the Karim how to do the Hakrovas Hakrabanas? So the Gemara gives a whole explanation. Okay. So Nachamol. So the Mishnah is going to say...
Somebody's daughter can be given
the Mishnah says, if an Isha wants to donate, we do accept, because the Isha is Jewish. She has a Kedushas Yisrael. So Kedushas Yisrael means Kedushanah B'mitzvah Yisrael. Except that the women, if they don't want to, they don't have to listen to Shofar, they don't have to sit in the sukkah, they don't have to shake a lulav. If they don't want to, they don't have to. But they have a full Kedushas Yisrael to the same extent as the men. So it's not the same as a Nochri volunteer. A Nochri is Legamer Eina Mitzuvah. An Isha has the Kedushas Yisrael, and theoretically it's Kedushanah B'mitzvaysav, B'tzivanah. She really should be Mechuyev to do Machzah Shekel and everything. But there's an exemption. If she does want to, she doesn't have to. So if she's going to volunteer it, so that's called a kiyum mitzvah. But if the woman gives, she doesn't have to give kalbon, because the kalbon is only with the rabbanon. So whoever is giving out of the goodness of his heart doesn't have to pay kalbon. That's one of the rais, the minhas chinuch. The whole kalbon is only with the rabbanon. Cotton also, cotton is not mechuyev to give, but the Mishnah says we accept it. Yeah, so that's the Tzoy Sachoshin has a kasha. The cotton can't be makna anything. A cotton is a lot badas. So how can the Mishnah say that you accept from a cotton? So if you say that one is not mechuyev to give machna shekel till the age of 20, so after bar mitzvah he's already a gadol, he's a badas. So from the age of 13. Till the age of 20, he's not mechuyev to give machzor shekel, but if he volunteers, he can accept it. Okay, but if you hold that right after bar mitzvah, everyone is mechuyev to give machzor shekel, 20 years, that's very different machzor shekel. That's for the purpose of taking a census to see how many soldiers you have. So before 20, you're not supposed to draft into the army. That's the pasuk in the opening psukim in Chumash Bamidbar, Be'esem Shalom Amalei. You're not supposed to draft anyone in the army younger than 20. Yeah, but so that's the Tzoyis kasha. If a cotton is not mechuyev and machzor shekel means before bar mitzvah, there's a lot badas. So how can it be makne? So the cotton has the ability to be makne mid the rabbanon, based on hefke bezna hefke. So cotton can be makne mid the rabbanon. That's acceptable for a din deraisa. The cotton's got to be makne, and that's good on the level of deraisa. For machzor shekel, we don't accept donations. So the Tzoy says, I write from here that Hefke Bezna Hefke works men HaTorah and Hekdish it's Chal men HaTorah. Hekdish Chal men HaTorah. So the Nesiv is very unhappy with that. He thinks that it's not correct. So he gives a different answer. That's a big discussion. How can you accept from a cut? But a Nochri, the Mishnah says you cannot accept. Because a Nochri has no Sheikhus Machzah Shekel. He's just going to give a donation. So that's the Pasuk. No one's allowed to give any donations. Everyone has to give exactly the amount that you have to give machzor shekel. So just like ha'asher lo yarbe can't throw in extra to the pushke, to the takna charetin pushke, so nochri can't throw in either. So how can you take the kalbon? That's a kasha. How can they make a takana with the rabbanon that you should add a kalbon? That's a personal donation. And machzor shekel not supposed to take any donations. That's a strong kasha. Right, better kabayis, yeah, that's clean up, paint up, fix up. That they'll accept. All donations will be accepted. But here, by machzor shekel, you don't accept donations.
Everybody,
yeah.
Well, kind of answered it, but so let's say if I have a shekel, right, and I have to go to the Zuchani to pay him his commission, and then the kalbon I have to give anyway, why not just give the whole shekel right away? You don't have to go to that chassid.
Yeah, because we don't accept more than the machzor shekel. You're not allowed to give more than your mechuyev to give. That's how Hashem
Layarba. Kalbon, you have to
give. The kalbon is akasha. Yeah, mid the rabbanon they declared everyone is mechuyev to give a kalbon. So why should? How can they make a din mid the rabbanon mechuyev to give a kalbon? It's against the halacha. How can I have such a din? I don't know.
But they defined what is machzor shekel was. Let them define the kalbon as part of the machzor shekel.
But for some people, yeah. For some people, no.
Yeah, so,
okay.
So,
okay.
Okay.
So it's a little bit tzolei al yerechai, a little bit shvach. So shvach. So nochah. How does Rashi say it? So Rashi has like this. The way we paskin, Rav Meir says, whoever gives machzor shekel has to give kalbon. So if two people together are giving one shekel, they have to give two kalbonis, one for me and one for you. And we don't accept Rav Meir shita. That's in the first parak in Shkalm. We don't accept Rav Meir shita. You only have to give the kalbon if you're saving, if two people together are giving one shekel instead of me giving a machzor shekel and you giving a machzor shekel. So we're saving money we would have had to pay the Shulchaniyah commission that he should exchange it to give smaller coins. So the two of us, if two together are saving money, then you have to give one kalbon. You don't give, each person has to give it. Then you give one kalbon. What happens if I'm giving machzor shekel for myself and for one of my children? I'm not mechuyev to give for my children. They're mechuyev. They have no money. Okay, so I'm doing a favor. Let's say I'm giving machzor shekel for myself and for my next door neighbor who's an oni. So what would be the din in such a case? I'm giving everything. So that's what the Mishnah has over here. If the father is alive and the father is giving a machzor shekel for himself, he's giving, let's say he has five sons who are bar mitzvah, and he makes a sixth one. So he has to give six people, he has to give three shekels. Strictly speaking, he's only mechuyev to give a machzat shekel. He's giving six chatzoy shkolim for six different people. So then the Mishnah says you don't have to give any kalpa. Because he's giving for people he's not really mechuyev to give. It's one person giving for others, not mechuyev to give. So then there's no kalpa. So the Mishnah says, ha'achim hashutfim. If the father died and the brothers never made a chalukah, and they used the estate of the father to pay machzas hashekel, so that's considered as if the money is coming from the estate, so there's no din of kalban over there. There's no din of kalban. It's like if the father would still be alive and he's giving machzas hashekel for himself, for his five children, so there's no need for a kalban there. So here also there's no din of a kalban. So that's ha'achim hashutvim. If they never made a chalukah, so then they would be chayv and maisa behemah, because tfusas habayis, the yerusha, the estate before chalukah, is not the same as another shutfas. It's not considered what I own does, but let's say there are 10 shutfim, 10% that I own doesn't belong to you, the 10% you own doesn't belong to him. Each one owns 10% that doesn't belong to the other one. We're all shutfim together. Tfusas habayis is not so. We say the whole estate belongs to all of the children together, is considered as if it's one bialus. So Rashi holds that shutvim aneve chayiv in maisa behema. He says, based on a pasuk in Chumash, quotes a Gemara, that's how Rashi learns, shutvim aneve chayiv in maisa behema. But if they yorshim from the father before chalukah, that's a different kind of a shutvus. That's called tfusas habayis. It's considered as if it's one owner. It's not considered many different shutvim. So since it's considered one owner and they are chayiv in maisa behema, so then, pturim in a kalbon, we consider it as if the father would still be alive and he would give machzas shekel for himself and for five sons, he would give three shkolim, six machzas shekels, he wouldn't have to give any kalbon, because all the money is coming from one person. So then there's no kalbon. But if you have ha'achim hashutfim, if they were first, the father died, they made a chalukah. Then they said, what are we making a chalukah for? Let's join again to become shutfim. We'll do better if we remain shutfim. So then when they joined Hachim, they made a chalukah, and now they became shutfim again. So that's not called tfusas habayis. Then it's called the shutfis. So then the pturim in maisa behemah, because it's shutfim, and then echayavim bekalbon, because each one is a separate entity that happened to join together. It's not a tfusas habayis that all the money is coming from one pot. All the money is coming from one ownership. That's how Rashi reads the Mishnah. Rashi says, Rashi writes in Chorus, the girus has to be ha'achim ha'shutfim. You can't have a girus ha'achim v'ha'shutfim. Either brothers or shutfim. Rashi says, normal shutfim are never chayv v'maisa behem. Rashi holds, that's the pasuk. Shutfim are never chayv v'maisa behem. And the Rambam doesn't agree with Rashi's shita. The Rambam says, no, that's a different thing. There's a din lakuach, is potter from maisa behem. If I have a farm, and my cows gave birth to 10... I have 10 sheep or 10 calves or whatever, and they were born, I own them when they were born. So then I'm chayv v'maisa behema. What if I went shopping and I bought 10 sheep? So lokuach is not chayv v'maisa behema. So the Rambam says, shutfim, sometimes it'll be lokuach, sometimes not. Let's say we became shutfim in a farm with a lot of cows, and then the cows gave birth. So there's no lokuach. When we bought the cows, that was lokuach. But now the vladis were born to us. That's not lokuach. So the Rambam says, in such a case, the shutfim achayavim in maisa behema. But if I have 100 calves and you have 100 calves, and then we become nishtatfu, so it's as if I sold a shutfis and my 100 calves to you, as if you sold a shutfis and your 100 calves to me. So all 200 calves are called lokuach now. So if we became shutfim in behemas that were born this year, so each one of us would have been chayv v'maisa behema. But then when we come to nishtatfu, so nishtatfu makes it into lokuch. So that's why lokuch is potter. That's how the Rama holds. Rashi, so the Rambam says that shutma sometimes yes chayv v'maisa behema, sometimes not chayv v'maisa behema. So that's what if the vladis were born to them after they started the shutfis, then it's not a lokuch. If each one was mishate behemis, then when we became shutfim the behemis, so I sold half of my behemoths to you, you sold half of your behemoths to me. I'm not going to say all the behemoths that were mine are mine, whatever vladis are born to mine belong to me, whatever vladis are born to you belong to you. No, If some of the vladas are going to die, we're going to divide everything 50-50. So the pshat is, when we became shutvim, it's considered as if I was makna half of my 100 behemoths to you, you're makna half of your 100 behemoths to me. So that makes all of vladas into, makes all of the behemoths into shut. So that's where the Rambam's girsa, what this mishnah appears in Bchairis also, and in Shkolim also. So the Rambam's girsa, so achim v'ha shutvim. That the shutvim are sometimes yes chayv and ma'ase behem, sometimes not chayv and ma'ase behem. Rashi's girsa is, achim ha shutvim, you never have shutvim or chayv and ma'ase behem. This mitzvah of hafroshes ma'ase behem doesn't apply to shutvis. But the Kalban story, that the Rambam and Rashi learn the same. The story with the Kalban. The Kozman, that it's a tfusas habayis, all the money is coming from one source, as if it's one person, as if, well, the father was alive, all the money belonged to the father. The father died and never made a chalukah, so the estate, the tfus habayis, before chalukah, is considered as if it's one ownership, so then there's no need for Kalban. So the other, the din of Kalban, the Rashi and the Rambam learn the same. The din of, and the din of Maisa Behema, that's where there's a machlokes, the Rambam and Rashi. Okay.
Does Rabbi Meir hold that if it comes from one source, also there's no Kalban?
I don't think so. No, he probably disagrees with the whole Mishnah here. No, he says everybody gives machzor shekel has to give a kalban. Unless you're doing a favor for someone else, then you're not mechuyev. Then you don't have to. If a woman is volunteering, then she doesn't have to.
If it was owned by a corporation or an organization, would they have to give anything? An organization owned it. Let's say a shul owned it or a corporation.
Probably not chayiv. The organization is not a Jewish person. The organization is a chaloshem tzedakah. Probably not chayiv.
This was a case where they were partners, and then after they were partners, they bought an animal, and then that animal had a baby. That's the way that the Rambam would say. Not that I brought animals into the shutfus. Rather, we made a shutfus, then we bought an animal, and then that animal had a baby.
So according to the Rambam, if we bought an animal, we bought 100 animals, and then the animals had babies, so the Rambam says, then we are chayv and ma'aseh behema. Shutvim are chayv ma'aseh behema. But if it became shutvim with the, I had 100 animals born in my flock, you had 100 animals born in yours, we were nishtat from that, we own 200, so when we became shutvim, I was makna half of mine to you, you were makna half of yours to mine. So all the 200 animals became lokuach. So lokuach is not chayv and ma'aseh behema.
Back then to the organization. So an organization is formed, or they then buy these things. So it's one person, one entity.
It is one entity, but it's not a human being. It's not a Jewish person. Yeah, strictly speaking, because a tzedakah organization, even a Jewish tzedakah organization, is not prohibited from taking a ribbis deraisa. They can lend money in charge ribbis deraisa. Just that we're machmer on that midrabbanan. In Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries quote the Tshuvas HaRashba, that it's if a Jewish stock organization, it's not right that they should take ribbis deraisa. Even though it probably is mutter, but we don't allow. But ribbis derabbanan we do allow. Whatever's only ribbis derabbanan, a stock organization can't take, because it's not a Jewish person. There is such a, the halacha recognizes a corporation, that kind of a corporation, tzedakah, hegdish. The halacha recognizes that. There's a big machlokes in the last 100 years. The Gedolim had a machlokes. Does halacha recognize what's considered now a corporation? That 100 people form a corporation together, and we say the behemoths don't belong, not that I own 1%, you own 1%. The corporation owns all the behemoths, and we own a share in the corporation, but the animals are owned by the corporation. So there is such a thing as a chaloshem bailim. It's not a human being. Tzedakah owns a farm. There is a halacha. Tzedakah can own a farm. There is a chaloshem bailim. Maybe that's only by tzedakah. Is there such a thing that we can invent our own chaloshem bailim? So that was a big machlokes in the last 100 years. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, half of the Gedolim held the halacha doesn't recognize corporations. Moshe said, according to the din of the machusa, there's limited liabilities when you have a corporation. So there's no shibud aguf. Let's say the corporation borrowed money, so then it goes bankrupt. So or even if they don't go bankrupt, let's say. So there's limited liability if people are not mechuyev. Rav Moshe said, of course, we follow that din. When they made the business deal, it was understood that it's limited liability. There's no shibin aguf on him. So he says that's true. But to say that he doesn't own a share in the stuff, Rav Moshe thought that the halacha does not recognize ownership of a corporation. This is chal l'shem bayla. So halacha recognizes hegdish is chal l'shem bayla. Hegdish doesn't mean it belongs to God. It means it belongs to hegdish. Hegdish is a corporation. Tzedakah. Tzedakah is not a person. It's not a group of people. Tzedakah is a chal l'shem bayla. But this chal l'shem bayla, the halacha does not recognize. And Adik Dalam held not so. Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, when the Eirach HaRein, has a long tshuva where he quotes all of the Gedolim from the last 100 years who wrote about this. A major machlokes. Okay. So the Gemara now is not going to discuss the second half of the Mishnah. With the Kalbon, Gemara is not going to discuss the Maisa Behema that they let you figure out on your own. That's the more difficult part. Gemara is only going to discuss the first half of the Mishnah, the Temed. So the Mishnah drew a contrast between Temed Koidim Shehechmitz, before it has a sharp, spunky flavor to it, is considered Mayim. And then it'll have the Dina Gimelug Mayim Shuvim. And after Hechmitz, then it's Dina Kiyayin, and it's Nikach B'Kesef Maisa. The Pasuk gives an example of an Asata Kesef, Babaka Batsona, Bayayin of Ashechar. This hits the spot. This is called Yayin. It doesn't have to be Yayin if it would be grape juice, if it would be orange juice, you can also buy it. With Mois Mois Hashem. It just has to be Previ Geduli Karka. But the Pasuk gives a Moshal of Yayin, so the Mishnah gives that then. Temin, Meshachmetz is Dina Ki Yayin.
What do we do with
Maisa Behemah
today?
Maisa at the time of the Churban Abayis, the Maid of Takani shouldn't be Mafrish Maisa Behemah. There's no Isa Tevel, just a mitzvah to be Mafrish Maisa Behemah. But you can't do it today. If you'll be Mafrish Maisa Behemah, you have to wait till it gets a mum. And it may not get a mum. You're not allowed to make the mum yourself. B'chor Behemah Torah, that's a bigger problem. B'chor Behemah Torah is Kodesh Mei Elov. It's Kodesh Mei Rechem. So the Tosfos in the beginning of B'choris, on Gimel Amud Beis, Tosfos says that today, because it's going to be a michshol, you can't make a mum, and you're going to wait till it's going to develop a mum by itself to be allowed to shecht it. It may take years and years. So Tosfos says that today, we assume it's a mitzvah to make a shutfus with a nochri, to pati yourself from the whole din of B'chor Behemah Torah. If you have a shutfus with the goy, even just on an ear and a leg, and just a part of the animal, so that either the part of the uber or the part of the mother, that resolves the whole problem of B'chor Behemah Torah. Yeah. Yeah. Zroya lo chayim v'hakeva. The Chumash says that whenever you shecht an animal, you have to give matas kuna. Zroya lo chayim v'hakeva. Yes. So the Gemara says, no galma. The minig olam is kahani tlas sovi. Like three old tanoim from the earlier generations. There were many generations of tanoim. So by the time Ramei, Rabbi, by the time the later tanoim came on the scene, these people were 90 years old. So they're called hani tlas sovi. These older tanoim from the earlier generations. So the minig olam was lahakel on three different things, even though it was a minority opinion. So one of the issues was that the Zohar L'chayim V'Akev is not noig in Chutz Laretz. That's how Rashi learned in the Gemara. That's the minig olam. We don't give Zohar L'chayim V'Akev in Chutz Laretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, you have to give. So in Eretz Yisrael, you're supposed to give. That'll be a pain in the neck. So you can never eat tongue. In Eretz Yisrael, the tongue is a chelik of the L'chayim. You have to give the lechi with the tongue to the kohen. So you can never have tongue in Eretz Yisrael. You're gazling from the coin. So what they do is they make a shutfus with a goy, or a shutfus with a coin, in the slaughterhouse. So when they shecht the behemoth, it's potter from Zohar L'chayim V'Akev. More correct is not so. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a simon in the first chelik yoredeh about Zohar L'chayim V'Akev. So they write that the crazy placey by Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz is printed there on the side of the yoredeh. So they quote that in Chutz Laaretz we don't observe the mitzvah of Zohar L'chayim V'Akev. So Chassidim Anshei Maisa wanted to fulfill as many of the 613 mitzvahs as possible. So they're going to be missing the mitzvah of Zohar L'chayim V'Akev. Some mitzvahs you have no choice. Let's say blowing shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. If you don't have any yovel, there's nothing you can do about it. But as far as Zohar L'chayim V'Akev, so the practice used to be they used to send money to an acquaintance of theirs in Eretz Yisrael, that they should buy a shutfus in a behemah, they should shecht the behemah in Eretz Yisrael, and give away the Zohar L'chayim V'Akev to the Kohenim, and because I sent money, and I'm a shutf in the behemah, so I share in the mitzvah. I have fulfilled that mitzvah. We should all try to fulfill as many mitzvahs as possible. That's why they started a business now, a racket, whatever you call it, for Shemitah. For Shemitah. So whoever has a farm in Eretz Yisrael and he doesn't do any work, in Shnas HaShemitah, he fulfills a mitzvah, B'shav Sahar Shabbos L'Hashem. I don't have a farm in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, if you pay us $1,000, we'll give you a shutvis, 5 inches by 5 inches in our farm, and we're not going to do any work, the whole Shnas HaShemitah. So that's how they're making their parnasa. They're selling every 5 inches to someone else. It's a racket. But that's what they did. That's Rabbi Yonasan Ebeshitz writes. The Hasidim Anshei Maaseh, they always did like that. They sent money to Eretz Yisrael to buy a shutvus and a behema. They should shecht it there to fulfill the mitzvah of Zolach Hayim
HaKeva. About the Rav from Chamor, does that apply only to
Chamor
or other?
Only Chamor. Chamor is a behema tmei, only Chamor. There's a din of b'chor behema tohira, that it becomes a kodesh me'elav, it becomes a carbon. Doesn't apply to Chaya though, only applies to Behema Tahora. And Petah Chamor is the one exception to the rule. Gemara discusses Manish Tana Chamor. Why was Chamor singled out and only Petah Chamor? Petah Chamor is very rare. Pidyon Petah Chamor is very rare because it's very common that the Chamorim have miscarriages. Miscarriages. So just like if a human being, if a woman has a miscarriage, it depends how long the first pregnancy was. If the first pregnancy was over 40 days, 43, 44 days, then the Vlad that's born afterwards doesn't have Pidyon HaBen. So by Chamorim also, if the first pregnancy was long enough that it's called a Vlad, then the next one won't have the Pidyon Petah Chamor. So it's very rare. So every so often, every couple of years, they have a big fuss in Eretz Yisrael, Pidyon Petah Chamor. So they invite, they announce it in the newspapers, they research it, and they make sure that this behema, this Chamor, the Chamora never had a miscarriage, and it's a pidyon petah chamor. So they make a big fuss about that.
Do they do the Yisrael Chanukah now?
You're supposed to. So what they avoid it by making a shutvus with a kohen or a shutvus with an akama. More correct is you should check the behemah. You should give it.
That nobody does it at all.
Right. Everybody makes all the big companies. They make a shutvus with a kohen.
How does a shutvus
with a kohen
work?
The
kohen is
marchal on his chaylik? No. A kohen is not mechuyev to give zoalachayim v'akeva to another kohen. And because he's a shutvus, so the whole mitzvah doesn't apply, right? The whole mitzvah doesn't apply. But more correct is, if in the normal course of events, I'm not interested in him becoming a shutvus, this is a family business, and me and my brother and my brother-in-law, and that's all. I'm just taking a shutvus with the kohen in order to patah myself from Zerala Chayim Ba'keva. So that's called harama. That's a legal fiction in order to pata you. In normal course of events, I wouldn't make the kohen into a shutif. So that's not right to do a harama, to pata yourself from a mitzvah.
That's the same thing with b'chol behemah.
Right, so Tosis, right. Tosis makes a distinction. Tosis says, b'zmancha beis hamikdash hayakayam, and you can bring the b'chor behemah as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, so you should do it. It's not. And the Gemara says that one of the Chachamim made a shutvus for the Goy in order to be pata from B'char Behemah Torah, and he was punished, and all of his animals died, the whole flock died. All the animals died because he's not supposed to do a harama to pata himself on the mitzvah. But Bizman Hazeh, we can't fulfill the mitzvah of bringing the B'char Behemah Torah as a carbon in Beis HaMikdash. And we're going to have this takala. Someone's going to be nana from the Behemah. And that will be a violation of Me'ila, the Hegdash. True, it's Kachim Kalim, there's no punishment. There's no Me'ila, but Kachim Kalim, there's no punishment. You don't have to give care of Mechemish, you don't have to bring the Korban Hashem Me'ilas, but there is an Issa Me'ila. And there's a lav, Lasava B'lchor Sharech, while Lasagas B'lchor Tzanecha. Giz Vaveda is awesome. So Tosfos says, what motivates us today to make a Shut V'sakum by the B'chor Behemah Torah is because we're afraid we're going to violate a lav. But if what motivates you to do the harama is because you want to pata yourself from a mitzvah, the Torah says that's not right. Harama to pata yourself from a mitzvah, that's not right. Go do the mitzvah. But by the B'chor Behemah Torah, what motivates us to do the harama, to make the shutvus for the goy, is in order not to violate the nisa. Same thing with Chiras Chametz. Chiras Chametz, if I would sell all the chametz that I have around the house and I wouldn't burn any chametz, so then I did a harama, a shtick, I did a legal fiction, I sell the chametz to the goy, I have no chametz to destroy. So that would be a harama to pata yourself from a mitzvah. But we don't sell all the chametz. We sell 99% of the chametz. A little bit of chametz we leave in a bag. We go and we burn that Erev Pesach in the morning. So we yotze the mitzvah of Ach Be'Yom Rishon Tashbisu to destroy the chametz in Erev Pesach. then I'm mekayim the mitzvah. Is it a fara mitzvah if I burn a ton of chametz as opposed to a pound of chametz? The mitzvah is to burn the last bit of chametz that you have around the house, to burn it. So the rest of the chametz I sell to the goy in order to avoid violation on Balyarod, Balyamatzeh. So that's okay. Harama, to avoid violation of an Avera, that's okay. That's what Taisa says. But if I would sell all the chametz and I just wouldn't fulfill the whole mitzvah of Tashbisa at all, that's a legal fiction, that's a harama. In the normal course of events, I'm not interested in selling my spaghetti to the goy. He's not interested in buying it either. So this is really a legal fiction, it's harama. So you're not supposed to use a harama to pati yourself from the mitzvah. That's what they all ask. Why was the Chazon Ish so opposed to the Mechira, had the Mechira? Everybody sells the chametz before Pesach, isn't it the same thing? So many hold that the Heta Mechira is Nishkin Heta, it's baloney. But if you hold that the Cheshbon is valid, so why is it different from chametz bePesach? So at the time that the Chazon Ish was tumbling about Shemitah, that the farmer should not rely on the Heta Mechira, that the Rabbanut sells all the farms to the those farmers who appoint them as a shliach, so they sell their farms to a goy to avoid the dinim of Shemitah. So there was a big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Mendelsohn, who was the Rav in Komen Miyut. He passed away a long time ago. His son is now the Rav in Komen Miyut. So he said a svar, and the Chazon Ish said, yeah, that's a very good svar. He likes that. Chazon Ish felt intuitively that it's not the same as Mechiras Chametz, but he didn't know how to spell it out. So this Talmud Chacham Binyamin, I think, Mendelsohn. So he said a chilek. He said by Shemitah, there's a mitzvah saseh, v'shav sahar Shabbos Lashem. It's a mitzvah. If you own a farm in Eretz Yisrael, you should leave it alone. Nasa Shemitah. So you're doing a haram, a sell to a goy. You're not interested in selling the land to the goy. You're selling it to the goy in order to pater yourself from fulfilling a mitzvah. So that's not right. But when it comes to Mechiras Chametz, we do burn the Chametz. We burn 1 pound of Chametz. The remaining 99 pounds we sell to the goy. So the Mechiras Chametz is a harama that we shouldn't be in violation about your by matzah and the 99 pounds. But it's not haram to pater off on the mitzvah. We're not patering from the mitzvah. 1 pound of chametz, we're leaving to burn.
So if you leave, you sell 5 inches by 5 inches.
So that's what many, that's what they do. All the farmers, all the Mizrahi farmers, who do rely on the Heta Mechira, so they leave a little bit to fulfill the mitzvah, a little bit. And then they sell the rest of the goy. So the distinction is, it's not the same. The Pashto says it's not the same. Shav Sar Shabbos Lashem, any inch of ground that you have, there's a mitzvah, every inch should rest on Shnas HaShemitah. By Chometz, the din is, the last bit of Chometz you have to destroy. So the Pashto says, see in Shulchan Aruch it says, if you want, you can burn the Chometz early in the morning. You can burn the Chometz 6 o'clock in the morning. You don't have to wait the Mesorah from Mitchil HaSheish. You burn the chametz an hour before chatzos. That's how the Mishnah. You have to wait till tchilas shesh. You can burn at 6 o'clock in the morning. That was bizman Shulchan Aruch that they didn't have the institution of mechiras chametz. But bizman hazeh we have mechiras chametz. So the Pashto says you shouldn't burn the chametz nine. You have to find out when is the rabbi selling the chametz, and after he sells the 99% of the chametz, then I burn the last bit of chametz that I have. But if I'm first going to burn the chametz at 6 in the morning after the 5 o'clock minyan, so I didn't fulfill any mitzvah. What? I burnt 1 pound of chametz. I have another 99 pounds. Then the 99 pounds I take and I sell it to the goy. That's not a mitzvah. That's a harama. So I use the harama to pater myself from the mitzvah. Pashto says you have to do the reverse. You have to first wait for the rabbi to sell the 99 pounds of chametz and then burn whatever is left afterwards. Shulchan Aruch was written before they had this standard Mechiras Chametz system that was developed. Shulchan Aruch was written in the 1500s. Mechiras Chametz was instituted like we have it now by the Nesivis. That was in the early 1800s. That was a few centuries later.
So if you own a grocery store and you sell it to a goy, Pesach, it's a harama?
It is a harama, but you got no choice. Look, you're going to leave over a little chametz that you are going to burn. The owner of the store is going to leave over a little chametz. He sells 99.99% of his chametz and leaves over a little bit that he's going to burn, same as everybody else. We sell 99% of the chametz and then we burn 1%. Yeah.
So is there any store that the rabbi is selling the chametz on our behalf?
Yeah, the rabbi has to sell the chametz while it's still mutar b'hanoa. An hour before chatzos, the chametz is also b'hanoa mid the rabbanon. So the rabbis always make sure. The Mishnah says, "Sarfa mitchil hashesh." Ibn Chaim is the beginning of the sixth hour. Sixth hour is the last hour before Chatzais. The rabbi has to sell before. So when it comes, what? Nah, 15. He sells it. Yeah, not allowed to eat then, right? The rabbi sells the chametz after when it's asa b'achila and it's muta b'ano. So
is that the time frame that he sells?
Yeah, he sells it after the isra achila. Yeah, and he has a whole hour to sell it. So it takes him half an hour to sell the chametz. Okay. The simple reading of the Mishnah is Sarfa Mitchila Shesh. Ibn Nacham is the beginning of the last hour. So the Kesef Mishnah is a commentary on the Rama written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. So he chepes this Lashon HaMishnah. So he says, Chometz after Chatzos min HaTorah, you're not allowed to have it around the house. So there's a mitzvah to burn the Chometz. The Pashtun says you got to burn the Chometz before Chatzos. If you have the Chometz after Chatzos, you're in violation of the Yisrael Sev Tashbisu. So if Midrabanan, they said we should treat an hour before Chatzos as if that's Chatzos Midrabanan, how can it say Sarfa Mitchila Shesh? So he says maybe it's Labdavka, he's not sure. Maybe when the Mishnah says Sarfa Mitchila Shesh, it really means the Sof Chomech. You have to have burnt all the Chomech before the sixth hour enters. He's not sure whether it means to be taken literally, you may burn the Chomech during the sixth hour, or no, you have to have burnt the Chomech before the sixth hour enters. Because the sixth hour, an hour before Chatzos is considered Chatzos Mandirabonon. They treat it as if Chatzos is an hour earlier. And after Chatzos, you're not allowed, after Chatzos deraisa, after the real Chatzos, you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. That's the Yisr Esseh of Tashbisu. So the Kes Mishnah is Mesupik. Maybe you have to destroy the chametz before the Shor Shishis begins, before the last hour enters before Chatzos. A Sufik in the Kes Mishnah, yeah.
But the
Bechor,
doesn't the Mishnah tell us how to do
Ketzer Marimim? Doesn't they tell us how to do it? Yeah, the Mishnah tells you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Mishnah has Ketzer Marimim ala Maisa Sheni livdosa below Chomish. That's a Mishnah. Maseches Maisa Sheni. How can you use a legal shtick? The din is whenever I'm paid in my own Maisa Sheni, I have to be Maisa Chomish. Let's say the Maisa Sheni is worth $1,000. So you have to add on another $250. So when you give $1,250, the extra $250 is a chaimish of the total amount that you're giving. We would have said 25%. Revius. But that's biblical Hebrew. What we call revius, the chumash calls it a chumash. Okay. So if the Maaseh Sheni is worth $1,000, you have to give $1,250. So it's another $250. That's a lot of money. And you have to take the money to Yerushalayim and buy. Loidai, you have to buy $1,000. He goes for Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. How is he going to spend $1,000? He said, where is he going to find so much food to eat? Food is not so expensive. So not only does he have to spend $1,000, he has to spend another $250. So the Mishnah tells you, Ketzed Ma'arim Ma'ala Ma'aseh Sheni Livdosa B'lo Chomesh. How can you pull the first one and spare yourself from giving the $250? So the Yerushalmi says on that Mishnah that that's the only area in Halacha where we permit Harama. Because the pasuk says, "Kiyachat mimcha makim kilo suchos seisiki yivarechecha Hashem alokecha." It says because Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave you a bracha, He gave you a blessing, and you had a bountiful year. So because there's bracha ksiva, so the chumash implies, do whatever you can to have more bracha, do whatever you can to avoid giving the chumash. That's what it says in that Yerushalmi. So that's what they confronted the Buchacha Rav, the Nesivis, who wrote his commentary on the Chosh Mishpat and the Chavis Das. He has a collection of Shadis and Tshuva. So the first Tshuva is to the B'chotcher Rav. B'chotcher is a city in Galicia. So the B'chotcher Rav was upset. The Nesivos was the one who encouraged everybody to do Mechiras Chametz. So he said, how can you institute Mechiras Chametz? It's against the Yerushalmi. We only permit Harame. The Yerushalmi says we only allow Harame in one area to be paid in Maaseh Sheni below Chomesh. So the Nesivos says, don't hack me a Chaynik. We don't paskin like that. Yerushalmi, the Bavli doesn't say like that. Bavli talks about different haramis, and we don't paskin, and that's all. You want to be machman, do whatever you want, go fly a kite. My psak has been accepted all over, and the Menishkin Kaf. A very nasty tshuva. The first tshuva by the Nesivim. Apparently he didn't think too highly of this Rav from Buchach. But the truth of the matter is, even with the Rishalmi, it's not a kasha. Because the Yerushalmi is talking about to be paid a ma'aseh sheni to add chaimish, that's a mitzvah. Paid a ma'aseh sheni is a mitzvah. And it's a mitzvah to be ma'aseh chaimish. You're not allowed to do harama to pati yourself from a mitzvah. But to do harama on the mechiras chaimish, that's not a harama to pati yourself from the mitzvah. We are going to burn a little chaimish. That's a harama to avoid violation of an iser, to avoid the violation of bal yirah by matzeh. So the way this Rabbi Yamin Mendelssohn from Kamamir, the way he made the distinction, and that's the often a thesis in the beginning of Pcheris. What motivates you to do the harama? If you're doing the harama to pati yourself from a mitzvah, that's not proper. If you do harama to avoid violation of an avera, that's fine. That's a person shaves with an electric shaver. Are you shaving off his payas? No. He figured out he's not using a razor. So by hook or by crook, he's not shaving his payas. So there's no issa. They used to have, the Yo-Yo used to give a heksha on Mendel's Hamish shrimp. It wasn't shrimp. It was some other fish. Some people who used to eat shrimp in their former lives said that it doesn't even taste like shrimp. The whole thing was a fake eye. But and then the OU discontinued it. They discontinued the heksha because the people thought that it was a miyasa thing to have Mendel's Hamish shrimp. So even if, let's say you would have it, Mendel's Hamish shrimp. So you're reading chazer, but you have a hetter. You figure out how to, so there's unto hate. You're not violating the avera. As long as you don't violate that there by hook or by crook, so that's mutter. What's wrong? Harama to avoid violation of an avera. There's no avera. There's nothing wrong. But if you do harama not to fulfill the mitzvah, light men on our mitzvah. So he didn't do the mitzvah. So that's what Tosis distinguishes. If what motivates you to do the harama is that you don't want to violate an avera, that's fine. But what motivates you is because you want to shake off the mitzvah, that's not right. That's not right. So I thought I was going to start the Gemara. Be later next week, we'll have to do this Gemara. The Mishnah in Yuma describes the way the Kohen Gadol was busy all day long. He did the whole Avodah on Yom Kippur all by himself. Every day you don't need a Kohen Gadol to do the Hakravos HaKarbonos. The Kohen Gadol is mechuyev to be makriv minchas chabitin every day. Machtzisa babayk, machtzisa ben abayim means he is the bala karbon. He has to pay for the karbon from his pocket. The community has to pay him a salary that he should have money to be able to afford to bring the minchas chavitin every day. But he doesn't have to do the actual hakravas hakarbon. He pays for the karbon minchas chavitin every day. And the kohen had yet to be makrit. The only time you need a kohen gadol, and then in Parshas Vayikra that we discuss in Parshas Vayikra, it says by parhalam davar shel tzibur, the Chumash says you need a kohen gadol. And Rashi learns in the Mishnah Megillah you need a kohen gadol. Tosfos says it's not true. Even though the Chumash says you need a kohen gadol, Taurus Kanim says that it's not true. Then the Chumash says by par kohen gadol. If the kohen gadol is mechal shabbos b'shoyge, he has to bring a special par. A normal person in mechal shabbos b'shoyge brings kizba or sira. If the kohen gadol is mechal shabbos b'shoyge, he has to bring a par kohen gadol, and it says he has to be makrivit. So Taisus quotes the Taurus Kanim that it's not so. Anybody can be makrivit. The only time you need a kohen gadol to be makrivit karbonis is on Yom Kippur. The whole avodas hayom is mutel v'solov. There's a Rashi at the beginning of Yuma, and Daf Gimel and Yuma, Rashi writes, Shmini Limiluim, what we read last week, Parsha Shmini Limiluim, all Avodah is Mutal on the Kohen Gadol. So the Rashi asks, it's against the Psukim. The Psukim say that his children helped him do the Hakrava. How can Rashi say everything was Mutal on the Kohen Gadol? So they give Terutzim. So here, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur had to do everything, but we have in all of the Piyutim that they had Payosis on Yom Kippur. They used to have a lottery, which coin has the right to be makriv, which carbon. So the Balamor has his comments on the Rif, usually has Hasagas on the Rif, so there's a Balamor, and Yuma has nothing to do with the Rif. He writes, all of the Balei Piyutim made a mistake. They have Payosis on Yom Kippur, they had a lottery on Yom Kippur, which coin has the right to do this, which coin? There were no Payosis on Yom Kippur. Kohen Gadol had to do everything from the beginning to the end. So that's what the Ramban writes. Only this rabbi knows the secret to the truth, and everybody else made a mistake. And all the Degayim and all the Rishonim, everybody says the Piyutim. You have Nusach Ashkenaz, say Rabbi, you have Nusach Svard. All the Piyutim, everybody says that there were four Payosas on Yom Kippur. So Ramban comes to defend it. He says that not everything was done by the Kohen Gadol. Certain things Trumas Hadeshen was an avoda that was done by Laila. So he said Trumas Hadeshen can be done by Kohen Het, you don't need a Kohen Gadol. And he gives the other three. He explains why there was room for four payosos on Yom Kippur. So the Kesef Mishneh has an interesting comment on the Rambam. In Hilchas Avodas Yom Kippurim, it's a rare Kesef Mishneh. He quotes a Ritvo on Yuma. He really quotes a Ritvo Bechlal. He quotes a Ritvo on Yuma who has a suffix. Everything that they brought on Yom Kippur and Parshas Achrimos, everything had to be done by the Kohen Gadol, even the Karbonis Tomid. Tomash Shachar, Tomash Shalbein Abayim. That's not a Yom Kippur Digger Karbon. Every day of the year, you bring a Tomid. So it happens to be Yom Kippur today. So you need a Kohen Gadol for that also. Or let's say Yom Kippur Shecholi is B'Shabbos. So you bring the Musafim of Shabbos. Or you bring on Yom Kippur, there are two sets of Karbonis that were brought. And Parshas Achrimos, you bring special Karbonis, the Seder Avoda, to accomplish Kapara. And then you have in Parshas Pinchas, you bring the Musafim. It's a different set of Karbonis. Totally different set of Karbonis. So here in Parshas Achrimos, it says you need a Kohen Gadol. In Parshas HaMusafim, in Parshas Pinchas, it doesn't say you need a Kohen Gadol. So the Maisa, the Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol did everything. The Tmidim and the Musafim and the Shabbos Dikam Musafim, Yom Kippur, Shcholis, B'Shabbos did the Shabbos Dikam Musafim. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Ritva, he was Masupik about that. Maybe that's not been Atar. Maybe the only thing that you need a Kohen Gadol for is the Avodas Yom Kippur for the purpose of Kapara, the Tmidim, and the Musafim of Shabbos, if Yom Kippur, and the Musafim of Yom Kippur, maybe that only needs Kohen Gadol Midirabbanan. Not so clear. But the Mishnayos have, the Kohen Gadol did everything. All of the Paitonim wrote that there were four Payosas on Yom Kippur, four parts of the Avodah were not done by the Kohen Gadol. So every day of the year, where you have a Kohen Head, you can do everything. So everything was up for grabs. So they had Mishoichet, who does the Shechita Satomini, who does Kabbalah Saddam, who does Halocha Saddam. Every step of the way, there was a pious. There were four big piouses, but every pious, 25 Kohanim, would be Zoiche for 25 different Avodas. On Yom Kippur, there were four piouses, but they only did four Avodas. The bulk of all the Avodas was done by the Kohen Gadol. But that's a question. How much of that was Menatar and how much Menderabban? So that's the fascinating Kesef Mishneh that he quotes the Ritva from Yuma. It's a collector's item. Kesef Mishneh quotes the Ritva on Yuma. Okay. He asked me that they gave us a presentation about the kosher switch. None of the Rabbanim from the Yeshiva understood why these Rabbanim think that it's Mutter. We didn't see why it should be Mutter, the kosher switch. The kosher switch that they just came up with now. To turn on lights on Shabbos. Which
Rabbanim?
A lot of the Rabbanim. We don't understand why it should be Mutter. I don't know. The fellow kept on explaining, saying we didn't see anything. We didn't see any basis to be Mutter. No. Thank you.
And I was your man. This is information. I don't know what you're talking about.